Kale and Company weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
When you know you have to wake up to do a show,
yeah.
I wake up earlier because I'm anticipating having to wake up. I said, Robin sets the alarm for 4:30, and I get up at 3, you know, because then I can't go back to sleep because I want to get ready for the show. I just don't drop in here. I have copious notes to get ready for. I don't just plop down here and wing it. This is a highly produced, highly professional broadcast operation.
Yep.
Yeah, baby.
Ooh,
a quick question.
Yeah.
Did the East Coast and in Philadelphia, did they run those summertime commercials for fruits? That it was it on the West Coast?
No, in Pride Week they do. But, I mean, it's, you know, they're just supposed to do that.
Right. No,
just joking,
in
people.
In California, there used to be a commercial when I was in high school that it was summer, summer, summer. It wouldn't be summer without you. And then it had, like, all these fruits, summer fruits. Did they do that one?
No.
I associate that with summer so much. Like, I would, as soon as those would start coming on, you knew that it was summertime when those commercials came on.
Yeah. Don't know it.
We got a lot of fresh fruit here. We get our straw. Everything's fresh down here because we grow stuff year round. They don't shut down the garden centers in September.
Stop telling everybody how fabulous it is down in
no,
Florida.
People are complaining
people
about heat.
Come here.
A lot of people come here when it's, you know, when it's November through April.
Yep.
It's hot. I mean, it's always hot, and you have to accept that. You don't live here.
Yep.
People who come down here and say, oh, my God, it's hot, that's what it's supposed to be. And it's hot and humid every single day, and you have to have your body get used to it, and you have to drink a lot of water. Same thing in Arizona, except in Arizona, when you sweat, it just disappears because there's no moisture in the air.
Yep.
So you can sweat in Arizona, and your shirt's not wet. Here you walk outside, in 10 seconds, you're soaked. But you have to get used to that. You have to get your body ready to be. But, you know, people come down to Disney, for example, in the summer, right, in Orlando.
Yeah.
It is scorching hot. And every afternoon there's that soaking rain shower, thunderstorm. And people stand out and say, oh, that feels so good. You know, that's what happens. Everybody who lives in different climates has to acclimate. When I moved to California, I had kidney stones because I wasn't drinking enough water because the air is drier out there. So, you know, just because it's 50 states, they're not all the same. You have to acclimate to where you live.
We will get to Dawn's Big Three in just 1 second, but I've been teasing this since 8:30, so I figure I should pay it off now. It's my fault. The doctor who vows to keep fighting despite facing prison time for exposing transgender practices. This is the Texas surgeon. We played the clip of the Simply Safe video doorbell thing that we played yesterday.
Yes.
Where they rated
it. Those two Portland, and I called them Portly or Zaftig, and you said, no, they were not. They're fat pigs. Let's be honest.
Fat
pigs.
That was the colleague of this Dr. Ethan Haim who spoke on Fox News yesterday, or last night, I should say. And he said he's terrified at the prospect that he could face a decade in prison for exposing what's happening at this Texas Children's Hospital. This is Cut 16. Phil, go.
Now, Dr. Haim, you have a baby on the way, I know, and you face now up to 10 years in prison. Are you concerned that they're trying to make an example out of you?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's happening. I mean, you know, standing in that courtroom and hearing those words, you know, facing up to 10 years in federal prison is terrifying. And you think about everything I could miss, you know, my family, the birth of my first daughter, the first few years of her life. But there's something greater to fear, and that's the fear of not doing something. Because the world we deliver our children into, you know, what kind of world is that going to be if we don't stand up? So we're going to go to federal trial. If anyone wants to help, you know, our legal fund, it's givesandgo.com/Texas_whistleblower. We need all the help we can get. We need to fight this. We need to win. Because if we lose, the door closes permanently on whistleblowers in the healthcare system.
Yeah, your attorney says that you were a mandatory reporter of child abuse who reported as a whistleblower to the state of Texas what you had seen in the hospital, saying this is the government going out of its way to prosecute a whistleblower. What happens next?
Well, you know, if there's one thing I would say, it's that the charges they're alleging are as unhinged and divorced from reality as the transgender interventions they're trying to cover for. You know, they have no basis in reality. It's
well, they're saying, the viewers, hold on, Dr. Haim, for the viewers who don't know the background here, they're saying that you went into doctors' files and extracted information from those files about patients without the authorization to do so, and then use that information in an unauthorized manner. I think that's what they're alleging.
Yeah, it's they have their basic facts wrong, and it's not that, you know, the most powerful federal investigative agency on the planet is so incompetent to get these things wrong. Yeah, it just vindicates what we've been saying all along, is that this is a political prosecution. But to answer your question, you know, what we do moving forward is we fight. Just like I said in the first time I was on your show back in January, we have our legal team together. We have Dan Patrick's son, Ryan Patrick, on our legal team.
I knew Ryan when he was a little kid. I knew Ryan since he was a little kid many, many years ago. That's amazing. Okay, great.
Yeah, he says hi. He was a former U.S. attorney for the Southern District of Texas. We have Mark Lytle on the case. He's one of the lawyers representing Gary Shapley in the IRS whistleblower case against Hunter Biden. We have Marcel Burke, and then, you know, I would say one of the most intelligent of all, Jeff Hall. I mean, this is a brilliant legal team.
Dr. Haim, well, just again, so
there you go. So, yeah, a lot going on there.
Amazing Texas. That only some whistleblowers matter.
Right.
But then these whistleblowers who are actually calling out, because they call it gender affirming care, but there's nothing being affirmed when you're taking kids' bodies and mutilating them. And that should be pointed out by somebody who works in the facility where they do that stuff.
Yeah.
Nobody needs to have their genitals removed. You know, there's a lot of talk about, again, children. I'm talking about children who really shouldn't be making those decisions. Yet some states think that children should be making those decisions, and their parents shouldn't have to know about it. That's what's even more ridiculous.
Well, the big thing was that the narrative was that children were not being surgically altered. They swore up and down in the nation that no child was being surgically altered. And that is a lie. Mm-hmm. And this whistleblower came forward to say it is a lie that is absolutely happening. And now he's being prosecuted.
And remember when they were impeaching Trump the 16 times, they had the whistleblowers, but they never said who the whistleblowers were.
Yeah.
So you had to believe them that there was a whistleblower who had all this inside information, which they never had to provide. Now these whistleblowers who are coming forward somehow are illegitimate. It's just a joke.
Yeah. All right, 9-11, Dawn Stensland, do you have a big three at 9?
It's the big 3 and 9 on Kale and Company.
Sponsored by Piazza Auto Group. Thank you, Piazza Auto Group, for sponsoring our big three. New details on the destruction. It was much worse. It was much bigger than originally thought. That's the quote from that massive train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, spreading far beyond the initial wreckage sites, spewing hazardous pollution across 16 states, including Pennsylvania, of course. This is a newly released study that says that, remember, February 3rd, 2023, Norfolk Southern freight train carrying hazardous materials derailed in East Palestine, Ohio, which is right on the border, obviously, of Ohio and Pennsylvania. And the researchers say, yes, it sent toxic chemicals into the air, the soil, the creeks, the lakes in the region. And that's according to this new study published in Environmental Research Letters, newly published, newly released. And so the pollution, they say, from the wreckage and subsequent controlled burn of several of the train's cars spread over as many as 16 states, our region, the Northeast, the Midwest, and Southern U.S. states, reaching 540,000 square miles, or 14% of U.S. land area. That's according to this study, Environmental Research Letters. It's published. Researchers estimate that 110 million U.S. residents, including basically all of us here in our region in Pennsylvania, right? All of us, we're all impacted by this as far as the reach of this thing, 1/3 of the nation's population. This is huge news. 11 of the derailed cars were transporting, they say, hazardous materials, five of which contained vinyl chloride, which is a highly volatile, colorless gas produced for commercial uses. And that's according to the CDC, by the way, the National Institutes for Health, etc. And so they're saying that the concerns here are about negative health effects. So this has many ramifications, as you well can imagine. But researchers say they discovered that exceptionally elevated levels of chloride and the pH levels found in northern Pennsylvania in particular and along the U.S.-Canada border compared to historic data. By the way,
now you know why Biden and Mayor Pete mm-hmm. didn't go there for over a year yeah. after it happened.
Yeah, because I never remember this. Do you remember that some of the government, the EPA folks or CDC folks, complained that they felt sick when they were at the scene?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So now we're hearing more about this. And remember, people were told, you know, at the beginning, oh, no, it's fine. It's safe. Not so much.
It's safe to go back to your home.
Yes, yes. Remember?
Yeah, sure. Your children can play outside. It's fine.
So Pennsylvania, Michigan, Massachusetts, Wisconsin, almost every site in New York, they were all flagged as having the soot, ash, and dirt samples wow. that were problematic. Pollutants in the air reaching southern states, Virginia, Tennessee, Kentucky, all according to these researchers. They say three out of the four residents of these areas that they're naming, especially in East Palestine, suffering from health impacts after the derailment, and more than 50% of the residents of East Palestine reporting their conditions through last fall. Remember, 9 weeks ago, and we reported this at the time, 9 weeks ago, Norfolk Southern agreed to a $600 million settlement to resolve that class action lawsuit related to this train derailment. This settlement still needs to be approved by a judge. So if approved by the court, the settlement would resolve the class action claims within just a 20-mile radius. Mm-hmm. So now will this judge not approve it, and they're going to look at the study? I don't know how this is going to fall, but this is a major finding, major news. And we have to look through the study. It's just coming out. It was just released yesterday afternoon. So it's a large study, and it's considered credible.
So sad.
Yes.
I don't know if have you seen some of the interviews with people that live there? This was a very poor area. So these people
that's why they don't care about those people.
Yeah. And not only that a lot of these people didn't have family that they could go move into with temporarily to get out of their homes. Mm-hmm. So they had nowhere else to go. And the government was originally was saying that they would provide hotel rooms or whatever. Mm-hmm. They did not, for the most part. I mean, mm-hmm. maybe for a night or two.
For some.
They were not helping people leave the area so that they were not subjected to whatever was in the air for months and months on time. It's just disgusting.
It is. Certainly is. I know we're going to get to the issue of the Ten Commandments, so I won't do that in the big three. I will point out, just a shout out, NBC10, kudos, their headline, mass shooting in Philadelphia leaves seven, including a teenager, hurt. So we talked about so they have it. So they're the only ones that I see calling it what it is, which is a mass shooting in Philadelphia that happened yesterday on Juneteenth. Somebody fired into this crowd of people along North Bambury Street, North Philadelphia, June.
And mostly women, young women,
yes.
were being hit by these random bullets.
And nobody has, I mean, I know that there are people in the hospital, but nobody's died. Right?
No, they're all in stable condition. The injuries are mostly grazed leg wounds. And so luckily, nobody was killed.
Yes. The youngest victim of this in stable condition is a 16-year-old girl, but there were several other teenagers struck. But it looks like these shooters just stopped at the intersection and shot down the street. And you're exactly right. At teenagers, I think the oldest victim was a 46-year-old woman, but all these individuals, thank God, in stable conditions. And you think of our local hospitals are among the best in the world. They're like a triage center for crying in a war zone. That's what Philadelphia has become. So kudos to those nurses, those doctors, those medical professionals who are
saving lives. How dare you, Dawn? Crime is down in Philadelphia. Don't you hear Larry Krasner now taking credit for it.
Yeah, right. They're looking for a dark colored sedan, and I don't even have the type of sedan, but it has some type of yellow tape or yellow plastic securing the trunk of the back of the sedan. And I still don't see a picture. I know they're working on this, and they'll get it out there with the real time cameras. Apparently, did capture the incident as well as private cameras. So they're working on getting all of that to us. By the way, children struck by gunfire in Philadelphia looks like children and teens, young people 17 and under, make up 14% of nearly 500 shootings in the city this year. And that's the city controller's office, just to give you a little bit of data on that. Number three in our big three here, let's talk about, I'll talk about the Trump rally that's this Saturday, Lee Corus Center, North Philadelphia. Now, for the first time, it's Pennsylvania Senate candidate Dave McCormick. His campaign is announcing that Dave McCormick will join former President Donald J. Trump at the big rally in Philadelphia this weekend. McCormick's campaign has announced it's the first time McCormick, who was, of course, endorsed by Trump earlier this year, is attending a Trump rally.
When can we expect all the local media people to condemn and write some hit pieces on Dave McCormick to protect Bob Casey, right?
MAGA McCormick.
Yeah.
Watch out. Yeah, we'll wait for those.
I love his seasonings, though. He makes a good quality seasoning.
Well, we are sponsored by Piazza Auto Group this morning. Explore the most desirable luxury SUVs with the Defender, Discovery, and Range Rover models. Schedule a test drive at Land Rover, Willow Grove, Westchester, Harrisburg, or Wilmington to find yours today. Thank you, Piazza Auto Group, for sponsoring our big three.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
I know you're going to go around with government fails. $320 million Gaza aid pier to be dismantled by July after only 10 days of operation. $42 billion rural high-speed internet promised 3 years ago. Not a single house has been connected after 3 years. And, of course, the most famous recent one, EV charging station, $7.5 billion, seven built so far. So the government's giving away our money, and they're not doing anything with it except buying votes and promising people stuff with our tax dollars and not delivering. That's the government we know and love in the great USA.
We will get to what's on the cut sheet part due in just 1 second, where we have another clip from Nathan Wade and Marlon Wayans, plus some other stuff. But I just wanted to read this really quickly. Louisiana has become the first state to require that the Ten Commandments be displayed in every public school classroom. The legislation that Republican Governor Jeff Landry signed into law on Wednesday requires a poster-sized display of the Ten Commandments in large, easily readable font in all public classrooms from kindergarten to state-funded universities. How do we feel about this?
It's unconstitutional. It will be struck down. There's no place for religion in school. However, the ACLU, of course, is already suing the state of Louisiana over this, but they're perfectly fine with putting up pride flags and other symbols of cults or religions at government buildings. Mm-hmm. So this is unconstitutional. The only good thing about seeing the Ten Commandments is then you can check off how many of them you've broken. You know what I mean? It's like looking at a list and say, you know, people post, how many of these things have you done in your life? You know, and it's like, you know, visited the Louvre, gone to this place, had a breast implant.
Bucket list
things.
Let me just say this as the least religious person on this show. Yes, I am the least religious person.
I'm probably lesser religious than you are.
Okay. All right. Cool. Thou shalt not.
I'm sick or somebody dies.
Thou shalt not kill. I mean, like, are they really that offensive? Like, I think it's a good, you know, hey, just be a good person.
Like, I personally don't see there's any problem.
I don't even know the Ten Commandments anymore, but I know I've broken pretty much every one of them.
Here, let me run them down just in case you've forgotten. You shall have no other gods before me.
Yep.
You shall not make idols. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain.
Wait a minute, you can't have American idols?
No.
Okay.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And you shall not covet.
I covered my neighbor's wife a couple of times, but she, you know, she welcomed
that
it.
That would then be breaking one of the ten. Yes. A lot of these on here, you would think you should not have to remind people that you should not do, but other ones are like
it's common sense. But a lot of people don't understand it. So, how many of you broke it? We'll do that another day.
I think that they should air the George Carlin classic version of the Ten
Absolutely.
Commandments. Remember that bit?
Absolutely.
That one was way better.
Yeah,
and more appropriate for most people.
It's like the seven words you couldn't say on anywhere. Yes. Now you can say them pretty much anywhere, except on this show.
Yeah. Well, here's the problem. Here's the problem with all of these school districts. You know, the schools are importing their own commandments that have nothing to do with what anybody else wants. Like, I mean, and Tony was like, nobody cares about this. But in Toronto, the Toronto School District has now put it in their bylaws that nobody's allowed to wear or the Star of David because it is anti-Palestine.
Yeah. Supporting your home country or your religion is anti.
So even if you are, you are no longer allowed to wear the Star of David on a necklace mm-hmm. or anything like that, because you could then get sent home. Yeah. And I mean, these
well, that'll be challenged, and that'll
lose. Yeah, oh, yeah. All of this yeah. stuff gets challenged, but the Louisiana thing is going to get challenged, and it's going to get knocked down.
Yeah,
you know,
I will say all Christianity, Islam, and Judaism all are based on the Ten Commandments and believe, you know, are rooted in that, and so because they all go back to Moses, right? And right. so they're basic laws. So it's not just one religion or another or two religions, all major, in air quotes, world religions. I just think you open up the old, you know, Pandora's box
yeah.
when you do this, because, okay, what if the ACLU did not challenge it? But what if, I don't know, the Wiccan witches, remember yeah. Wiccan back Wiccan. In the day?
Like yeah. Love them, yeah.
Friends,
yeah.
right? And they're like, I'm a Wiccan witch. And I'm like, cool, you be you. Back in the day, you just, you know, I remember my parents just saying, oh, that's nice. And they would just go on with their day. And nobody made a huge deal of it like they do today with all the identity stuff. But imagine that. If you say,
how about
well,
if they just put up a sign that says, so let it be written,
so let it be done.
Just put that up there yeah. and then let people interpret what that means.
Yeah, this is something for us to fight about, not us, but I mean,
yeah.
as a nation, we'll fight about for the next couple yeah. of weeks. And then it'll get struck down and it'll be removed and people will forget about it. So that's how this whole thing goes. Okay, let's get to a few more cuts here with this.
What's on the cut sheet?
I do. Actually, Dawn Stenson, What's on the Cut Sheet Part 2 is sponsored by Anderson Mechanical. Can you just tell us about Anderson Mechanical
yes.
real fast?
Take advantage. Anderson Mechanical Corporation's AC tune-up special. Do this. You're going to get 15% off your spring maintenance, which they've extended because this, of course, is the first day of summer this afternoon. So they're extending this just for you. 15% off your spring maintenance. And 1 year of free maintenance with a replacement system. Call today, amcontheweb.com, amcontheweb.com. Thank you, Anderson Mechanical Corporation, for sponsoring.
By the way, the dudes at Anderson Mechanical, great guys.
Yeah.
Great guys. Dawn and I met them. Amazing, amazing, amazing people. You should definitely, definitely
do
use
this.
Them. Okay. Nathan Wade, so he was interviewed by Marlon Wayans on The Daily Show. I don't know why he's agreeing to do these things. You know what I mean? Like, I'm glad he is, because he's
pimping a book, I think.
Yeah. Is he?
And who isn't, by the way?
It gives great material for us.
It does. Yeah.
I'm with you. Like,
he's
how
out of a
in
job.
The world he agreed to do that?
They just kind of made him look like an idiot on all of these shows. All right, this is the clip you were talking about earlier, if you're listening earlier in the 8 o'clock hour. With the different positions, because he made the mistake of saying the word positions, and Marlon Wayans, being a comedian, jumped all over that.
Took it and ran.
Yeah, took it and ran. This is Cut 19, Phil, go.
So let me ask you, when old girl was like, hey, babe, You want to be in charge of this prosecution of the President of the United States who did this insurrection? Did you think, like, this could get messy? Or you was like, nah. I'll be all right.
We did not have that type of relationship at the outset, and we were interviewing other people for the position.
What position was it?
It was only the position of special prosecutor.
Did that position look like this?
After Wade resigned as special prosecutor, Trump's law dogs still try to use their relationship to get the case thrown out. They compelled his ass to testify and grilled this hard.
Did you go to a cabin with Miss Willis ever?
Oh, the homie had answers.
Ever.
Unbelievable. I've never laughed at a late night bit that much since I don't remember the last time a late night. You know, listen, there's been some great hosts to do that show, Comedy Central.
Yeah.
That's the best bit ever because it's a legitimate guy going in there and I clown his ass.
Yeah.
Just like.
Tony had tears.
I can't. I have to watch that on repeat all day long.
Yeah, it's really good. a little bit more. There's like 20 seconds left here.
Oh. Are you booking all these cabins?
So.
How many district attorneys you be smashing in cabins? Is it Airbnb or Vrbo? Where you be getting all these cabins from? That's what my people want to know.
Where do I get them?
That's amazing.
Just unbelievable.
If that doesn't win an Emmy.
Agreed.
No show, no late night show should. Meanwhile, you got Colbert on there smoozing Dr. Fauci and bringing on Jamal Bowman, for God's sake.
Amen on that. Chuck Todd on MSNBC or NBC, one of those two, says that Trump may be getting his 2016 swagger back as an outside disruptor. This is cut 9, Phil, go.
I don't mean to simplify this, but, you know, Donald Trump's rhetoric even, and even his sort of swagger looks more like 2016 in the campaign you covered so closely, Katie, than he looks in 2020. And in fact, I was just discussing this with somebody we all know on this call, or on this program. I'm going to leave his name out of it because he didn't know I was going to quote him just now. But he even noted, we were talking about this idea that when Trump's losing, the worst version of Trump shows up. And when Trump's winning, or he thinks he's ahead, he's actually a different person, a different candidate. I mean, just, I think Vaughn could probably speak to this now, the Donald Trump in Detroit and those events he did, he was oddly loose. He was trying to be funny and all of this, where from about 2017 to 2022, we had, and even 2023 through the primaries, it's been nothing but angry grievance Trump, right? Angry, angry, angry. It's interesting, if he somehow drops the grievance, he could end up looking more like that 2016 candidate.
Maybe.
Where he's the outside disruptor.
But it's hard to imagine him dropping the grievance as you know, again, he's going to be sentenced in a few weeks here in Manhattan. There's all, you know, the presidential immunity decisions coming out with the Supreme Court. There are reasons to continue on the grievance trail. And this whole campaign, it seems to be less for him about policy and more about what they're doing to me is what they want to do to you. My grievances are your grievances.
There you go.
Noted Keith Olbermann protege, yes. Katie Turr.
I was just going to say that.
Yes.
Yeah, they dated. They lived together.
Yes, they did. And there was an incident in the lobby of Trump Tower where Keith lived when she was seen leaving partially clothed in the middle of the night.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a long story. Again, I love Keith. He's a friend. He doesn't love me anymore, but
I was gonna say,
he's a troubled fellow, and I hope somebody takes care of him soon.
Can I ask you a question?
And, yes.
You know, as a former friend of yours, did what was the age difference between him and her at that time?
I don't know. I mean, not that much. I mean, it's not like, you know, Bill Belichick and a cheerleader. It's not like 50-something years.
I don't know, bro. I think she's my age. So, like, if they dated, 10 years ago?
She's 40.
Oh, yeah, she's younger than me. So
she's 40.
And yeah, he's like 70, isn't he?
No. He's 10 years younger than me.
Okay.
So he's like 61 now. So that's a 20-year difference. Okay. Robin and I are what, 18 years 17. Apart?
Look, I don't judge. I don't judge. I'm just saying.
But the funny part is that it's your grievance. Yeah, Trump's talking about grievances because they've been trying to put him in jail since he came down the escalator in 2015.
Keith Olbermann is 65.
Okay. 65 so now, and she's now 40?
She's 40, so
25. I mean, that's, you know, when you see a 25-age difference when somebody's, you know, 40 and they're 25, mm-hmm. it's not as bad, yeah. whatever the differences are. I'm bad at math.
It's the 72 and 24 that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, that's, creepy. Yeah.
Hey, the guy's got how many rings?
I'm sorry. It's just wrong. It is wrong.
You see, there's pictures of him on his boat.
Yeah.
He's out there on his boat with his kids who are older than her.
Yep.
That's got to be a weird vibe on a cruise, right?
Yeah. Bill Belichick.
Yeah. We will come back. We've been teasing this since 6 a.m. What did Elon Musk is trying to woo advertisers back to X after he said this?
Yourself.
To advertisers, what is his explanation for that? We'll get to that. What's coming up on Dawn's show, plus today in music history, all on the other side. Stay there.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Elon Musk clarified his
go yourself
comment he made to advertisers last year in a much more measured remark on Wednesday at the Cannes Film Festival. He says, Tony Bruno, first of all, it wasn't advertisers as a whole. It was with respect to freedom of speech. It is important to have a global free speech platform where people with a wide range of opinions can voice their views. In some cases, there were advertisers who were insisting on censorship. We're going to support free speech rather than agree to being censored for money. So he clarified that as he's out there trying to get money for X. So there you go.
Hey, it's a smart move. And again, this guy's a genius. He's going to shoot up more satellites. And I mentioned the government not being able to put the internet in the rural areas after getting all those billions of dollars, $42 billion. He's shooting up another 20 Starlink satellites.
Yep.
So people all over the world in jungles can actually get Starlink.
Yeah, amazing. It's 9:50. We'll get to what's coming up on the Dawn Show in 1 second. But first, today in music history.
Oh, I'm ready for this, man. Music history.
Thursday, June 20th, we celebrate the birthdays of Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys, who turns 82, Lionel Richie, who turns 75, John Taylor from Duran Duran, who's 64, Michael Anthony from Van Halen, who's 70, and a heavenly birthday for Kelly Johnson from Girls School. Singles include Pretzel Logic from Steely Dan in 74, Emotional Rescue by the Stones in 1980, and Crying by Aerosmith in 1993. Albums include Destiny by Saxon in 1988, Double Vision by Foreigner in 78, Mr. Big's debut, and Faith No More's The Real Thing, both from 1989. Also in 75, John Travolta made his film debut as a satanist in the movie Devil's Reign, starring William Shatner.
Satanist.
In 2004, Paul McCartney performed his 3,000th live show, and in 2021, the Foo Fighters were at Madison Square Garden in New York City. But lastly, on this day in 75, the Talking Heads made their stage debut supporting the Ramones at CBGB's in New York City.
Love it.
CBGB, baby!
Thank you, Philip. Coming up on the Dawn Show in 8 minutes, Dawn Stenslin, what you got, my love?
We will update you on all of the stories, of course, the heat wave emergency in Philadelphia. We have new information on that. Coming up at 10:30, I'm going to talk to Andre Beliveau. We're going to talk about energy prices, especially as everybody's running the AC, trying to cool off. But did you know who pays the highest energy prices in the nation? Yep, right here. So we'll talk energy policy, energy prices, and why it all matters in the upcoming POTUS election. We have some
plus
news.
There could be some big Supreme Court announcements and decisions coming today.
Boom.
All right here, live and local, all day here.
Yes.
1210 WPHT, the Dawn Show, coming up in 8 minutes. Tony Bruno, Miss Robin, thank you very much.
We love you guys. Is there an update about Nick Hale? Where is he? What's going on?
I have not heard anything.
If he wants to call in to the dog show,
I know.
Call in,
Nick. He'll call in.
You're on the road.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. The Dawn Show starts in 7 minutes. Tony Bruno, Miss Robin, thank you so much. You guys
thank
did a great
you guys.
Job.
It was a blast. Always love doing this show. It's an honor to be involved with you great people on this great broadcast.
It's our honor.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.